In a few minutes, how IKEA learned that the American dream isn't just about stuff, stuff, and more stuff. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In an uncertain world, here's something you can count on. For the next 10 years, Japan's central bank wants to keep its interest rates near zero. It's the first long-term target ever and came as a surprise today. All right, but what does this mean? The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is on the line from London to help. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Can you give us a sense of what our friends at the Bank of Japan have decided to do here?
Well, what they want to achieve is to get people thinking that inflation is as high as the bank's target, which is 2%, in the hope that that will make them think that the real cost of borrowing is lower than it currently is, and therefore make it more attractive for people to borrow money to spend and businesses to borrow money to invest. And they're doing that by making a commitment to keep the yield on 10-year government debt at around current levels, which are below zero, essentially meaning they're going to buy Japanese government bonds as much as it takes to keep their yields at that low levels.
And there is an object lesson for central banks around the world about what can happen with these low interest rate policies and the difficulty of extracting an economy from them, in a sense. Market participants reacted generally well to what the BOJ is saying today, but why does it really matter beyond Japan?
First of all, Japan is still a significant importer, and so a stronger Japanese economy is helpful for, especially I think, for countries around East and Southeast Asia that might want to sell stuff into the Japanese market. It also matters because if it works, if these policies work, they will be likely to make the Japanese yen weaker. And actually, in some ways, for other people, that's a bit of a problem because it does mean Japanese industry would be more competitive. But I guess what you lose on that, you might gain on the stronger Japanese economy if, and it's a big if it all works.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
In about 7 hours, we'll hear from the U.S. Federal Reserve on interest rates here. The betting is they won't go today, but it's a decision that affects each and every one of us, so we'll be watching. The Scandinavian home products chain IKEA has done a survey here in the U.S. that included in-home visits with American families. And this is interesting. IKEA asked people to define the American dream. The answers we gave were not uniform, but generally we tend to say the American dream is about experiences and quality of life and not about buying more and more stuff. Now, if I were a furniture retailer that sold stuff, I'd bury those results and not tell a soul, but not IKEA. Joining us from Conshohocken, Pennsylvania is Lars Peterson, president of IKEA US. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, David.
So experiences matter more than owning more stuff. Does this, as a guy who runs IKEA US, does this disappoint you? I mean, too bad the American dream isn't about buying more Poang chairs or Vipul Schnupper dining room tables.
No, we are really happy for this. We can see also in the research that the small dreams in people's homes is very much about experience. For instance, the experience around the kitchen table. And of course, we design our products to help people to have those experiences in their homes. And you can say also that having a low-cost furniture helps people to also realize other dreams, because you are not actually spending all your money on your home, but you're actually being free up space and economic resources to do other things.
Now, one of your colleagues, I think his name is Steve Howard, head of sustainability over there at IKEA, I think he said earlier this year that we may have reached peak stuff, peak home furnishings in maybe the Western world. How would you prepare for a future where people buy maybe a little bit less or buy a little less often?
Well, David, I think we are still very small. We have a 2.4% market share here in US. Mm. And we are a long way from having, so to say, a market dominance in the American market. So our mission is actually to help people to have products that are more sustainable. And for instance, when we are working now with windmills to produce energy, that we are now producing four times more energy than we are consuming in US. So buying from IKEA is also a way to have a sustainable contribution on the American market. And that we are really proud of.
No, I take your point about sustainability in your energy use and in your production. But aren't you part of sort of the disposable society? I mean, IKEA stuff is not meant to be heirloom quality and passed down through generations. You throw it out after a while.
It's really interesting that you say that, because our efforts regarding the circular economy, some part of that people are actually doing themselves, because we are filling eBay and other sites with a lot of secondhand purchases. But we also see that we could also organize people's secondhand use of products. We have a couple of examples in different countries that we now are going to look at also for the future here, how we can help people to organize, how they can actually sell their IKEA furniture and get an opportunity for a second life.
Lars Peterson is the president of IKEA US. Mr. Peterson, thank you for this.
Thank you very much, David.
Now, if you, like me, have ever been trapped in IKEA without a clear exit strategy, I did raise this with Mr. Peterson. That piece of audio is worth a listen, and it's at marketplace.org right now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.